comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's the show where you matter. This has been an interesting day, and those of you who are on our substitute site are aware of the fact that something happened. Those who are not at our substitute site, but you're listening via one of our affiliate stations, I got up this morning, early this morning, and started my work day, and I always do the same thing first. That is, read the email that came in during the night. Well, it wouldn't work. Wouldn't connect. And so I thought, well, I wonder what the problem is. And I tried to go to my website, and my website was gone. Just gone. So the company that is our hosting company is Bluehost. So I gave them a call, and I said, hey, look, my site's gone. I'd like to know why. And they... You could hear computer keys clicking, and they said, well, your site's actually still there. What's gone is your domain name, kevinsmithshow.com, expired. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, hold that thought, and I'll call you back. So kevinsmithshow.com, I registered that a number of years ago, and I've got several other domain names that I use for other things. And they're all registered through GoDaddy. Well, not kevinsmithshow.com. It's registered through someone else. So anyway, I called them, and I said, what's the deal? My domain name has expired. And the guy, the person says, yes. It expired on January 27th. And I said, why didn't you send me a renewal notice? I said, I got no renewal notice. And see, I get those from GoDaddy, and I've been getting them from this other company for all these years. And the person says, well, that's not really our responsibility. And I said, well, yeah, but look, if you don't send me a renewal notice and then I don't renew, that means I'm not spending money with you. You're losing money. Aside from what it does to me, you're losing money by not sending a renewal notice. Well, that's not our responsibility. You have to keep up with it. Okay. So did someone else buy my domain name? And I mean, that would be a horror if that happened. It would kill us. And he says, no. It went into redemption. And I said, so what does that mean? And the reply was, well, it's there so you can redeem it and get it back. And I said, okay, well, I want to redeem it and get it back right now. Okay, I can handle that for you. There will be a fee. And I said, okay, how much? $160. Now, it costs $10.95 to register this domain name. $160. I said, oh, I get it. I understand now why you didn't send a renewal notice. We'll be back right after this. My guest this evening is Aaron McCollum. He's been with us before, as you know, and he's back with us again tonight. Aaron, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's good to be here again.
Before we dive into what we're going to talk about this evening, let me make another comment or two about what's happened with our website today. And that's this. You know, folks, all the time I say, you hear me say it all the time, there's no reason to be in the dark. And if you subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, you will not be in the dark. Well, that is especially true tonight, because those of you who are subscribers to the K-Files e-zine receive from us today a notice about what happened with a link to get to this substitute page where you can see and hear the show. Those who have not subscribed didn't get that message unless you forwarded that notice to your friends. They didn't get the message. And so they're sitting around today, right now, sucking their thumbs and saying, oh, what happened to Kevin? There's no reason to be in the dark, and I congratulate all of you for being in the know. That's a good place to be. Aaron, last time we talked a whole lot about this Gulf of Aden, and I haven't heard any new developments from that. I've heard different perspectives on what's going on, but I haven't heard any real new developments. But, you know, one of the things that I really would hope that we could talk about here tonight, and I think it would be very interesting for our audience, would be, you know, we've all read things and heard things about this MK Ultra and what they did to people. And I really would kind of like to delve more into that sort of information. You know, they picked you up, or they got you into the program when you were a very young child. And how old were you?
Well, like I said before, my first memory was when I was around 3 years old. What happened then seems to be what was my first evaluation or test to see if I fit a certain spectrum of what they were looking for. And this is what they do, and it can be anything from putting a kid in front of a bunch of puzzles and either observing them put together these complicated puzzles as a child to see if they have very intuitive and a very intuitive ability of problem solving, or even maybe putting together puzzles such as what happened with Duncan, where they actually had a psychic behind them that was actually projecting thoughts into his head to where they saw that he could obviously receive psychic messages. And then it really goes further from there. It's a kind of, it's a custom fit evaluation based on what they've evaluated with that child, or what they suspect because of maybe a father or mother before that, or even an older brother or sister, on what they might be able to do, or what they may be able to provide for whatever program they want to put them in. So with me, it was basically being dunked into a pool and seeing how I'd react. Now, how I actually reacted, I don't know. I don't remember. All I can say is that I remember then I blacked out or something, because then I remember being on a table, wet, and coughing up water with these older people around me saying, you know, we've got one, or he fits, or it was something to that extent. And that's when everything, well, I don't want to say change for me, because everything just seemed normal to me, but that's when it really seemed to have gotten started.
All right. Now, as you were growing up, Aaron, and for those who didn't catch your previous appearance here on the show. When you grew up, you went into the Coast Guard, and you spent 10 years in the Coast Guard, but you spent 10 years in the Coast Guard doing a lot of, we'll say, special operations or black operations. Let's take the time between 3 years old and joining the Coast Guard. Were you subjected to training during your years growing up? What kind of training? How did they do it?
Well, there was a place that I would be taken to. It was this house out in the country where I lived, where there was this person, and all I can remember is that his name was Mike. He was an older man. Just from trying to picture his face, I'm guessing that he was probably in his late 30s, early 40s, and he was the one that started me off on really basic stuff. A lot of it was just physical training, and then it got into, you know, handling weapons, even knowing how to use a knife, to then even some other things such as more pain tolerance. I remember being subjected to pain tolerance, such as having to walk across really hot rocks barefoot, not being able to make a sound, even more endurance. In the back of the place was this hay barn, and all I can remember was having to lay in this hay, very, very hot, for hours and hours and hours. It's a bit fragmented, and I have to say, just for your listeners, because I know I mentioned this to you before, a lot of my memories are fragmented, so all I can really do is give you frames of what I remember, because there are literally, you know, year spans, and the only way I know this is from talking to some people close to me who knew me back then, that there's literally time frames of years, sometimes months, where I don't remember a thing. It's completely blank in my head.
Did you attend, as a child, did you attend public school?
Yes, I went to public school.
And were there unexplained absences from that school as a result of this training?
I know that there were when I got older. I can't say when I was younger. I really don't know. But I know that as I got older, it started to happen more. Sometimes even there was one incident where I had 2 weeks where I wasn't attending school at all. I don't remember what they told my parents, but I can definitely tell you that something just doesn't seem right about that. If my parents aren't aware of it, there, you know, something's got to be, there's something that doesn't seem normal in that. But I do have some memories of purposely not going to school because I had requirements that I was required, I had things I was required to attend. And I'll tell you this before I forget, because this is something I want to mention to you, and I just recently talked to a few people I know about this. This is one of the most vivid memories I have when I was a child. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I remember being taken to this huge field, and it was, you know, kind of rocky grass and sagebrush out where we lived, and I was with 7 other kids all my age, and what they had out there were scattered in no specific order, these huge boards, particle board or press board, I'm not sure, like maybe 4 by 4 feet. And we were all told to walk out to this field in a row, about 20 feet apart from each other. Shoulder to shoulder, but 20 feet apart or so. And then the next thing I remember after that was lifting this board with my left hand, and there was a rattlesnake coiled there, and it bit me in the hand. I don't remember what happened after that, but what I do know is that those seven other kids, I don't remember ever seeing again.
Do you have any idea what would be the purpose for exposing children to something like that?
Well, I can give you theories based on everything else I was a part of. Obviously, testing fear is a big thing they do. They don't want you to fear anything. You know, you cannot be afraid. So I don't remember if they had told us, listen, you know, you're going out there and you're playing Russian roulette, or, you know, this could happen, you could get bit and die or whatever, but I find it odd. Or maybe it was something completely different, because the fact that I know I was bit by this rattlesnake, I don't remember what happened after that, but I continued on and I never saw these other kids again. It's really, really odd, and it's something that I haven't been able to come up with why that was, what that had to do with.
Were you ill after you were bitten by the snake?
What's that?
Were you ill as a result of being bitten by the snake?
I don't remember. That's the, and see, here lies the problem with being able to give people a better timeline, which I understand. I know people hear and they go, well, how can you not remember so much? But, you know, that's all I can give is what I remember. And I will not give information that I don't know absolute.
All right. Now,
whatever happened after that, I'm not sure. I do remember being around the, I'm sorry, let me just say this real quick. Not knowing the time frame after, but I do remember afterward was another step, and it had to do with tunneling, learning how to dig out tunnels, and we did that all over the place.
Okay. And how old were you when you were doing this tunneling?
I'm guessing around the same time frame, maybe 10, maybe 11. But what I do remember was these tunnels and then actually learning how to survive in them, actually building little, you know, like a little latrine area, little sleeping quarters, and then staying in there night after night.
All right.
But it's all in, like I said, it's all like, I get these pictures of the memories in my head.
What do you remember about high school? Well, about those years, the training, you know, what were you being exposed to then?
Well, I do remember getting in a lot of fights. I was always getting into fights. I don't know if those were just because I was being made who I was and I was that, but I do remember going on a lot of trips, mainly during the summertime. You know, my parents were aware or were under the assumption I was going one place, and I was going somewhere else with a small group of guys my age, and we were going all over the place doing a lot of more survival type training. Everything from going up into the mountains to even going out and doing really extensive, more physical training, you know, at the, I remember going to the beach a lot and going, doing this swimming. And then as soon as we got out, we had this whole regiment of things that we had to do, we had to accomplish. It was almost like like you had a checklist and you had to get done in a certain amount of time. And one of those times, it was in the middle of the night, I was in the tent that I was in, and we couldn't talk to each other after a certain time of night. And then I remember hearing someone call my name. I came out. All I saw were headlights and kind of a shadowy figure. I don't really remember anything after that. I don't even remember coming home. I know I came home at some point, but I don't remember. This is the problem that I deal with. Like I said, the fragments of memory.
What about your friends?
Sure.
What about your friends and associates in high school? Did they ever comment to you back then, or even now, that there were periods of time when you just weren't around and you were not in school. Have you heard any of that?
Only one incident from someone who I don't really talk to anybody from high school, but only one incident that I'd heard maybe about 2 years ago, where a person that I went to high school with had mentioned an experience he had with me, where I guess I had frightened a bunch of people, and we were at this lake, and we were at this, we were at a house on the lake that had a boathouse dock that hung over, and apparently I had dived in, went under, and when I came out, everyone was frightened and scared. Someone had dived in under, and they couldn't find where I was at. And they said that I was under there for maybe 7 or 8 minutes under the water.
So apparently your ability to hold your breath underwater had been developed.
Oh, that I know for certain. I mean, because I do remember on one occasion being taken to a river by these older men and being dunked and held under the water over and over and over again. And this went on and on and on, and it went for several days in a row.
Sounds a little bit like waterboarding, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does, but it was, you know, it was not done in a controlled environment. This was done out in the woods, out of a lake. Now, you did ask me about high school, and I can't say this because I do know this for certain. I had, and the only reason I remember this is because I do remember being taken in the principal's office, and this was my senior year, and the principal sat me down, and he said that within a 2-year time period from junior high towards the end of my senior year, he said that I had something of 100 and, I don't know, it was around 150 days of time when I wasn't in class, I wasn't in school. Yet, he told me about that, but nothing was done.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening, Aaron McCollum. And Aaron, we were talking about the training and the types of things you were put through as a kid. Do you remember anything, and this is in relation to this MK Ultra project that you had been, we'll say, recruited into, although perhaps you did not know that you were being recruited. You got kind of vacuumed up into it. So, do you remember anything in all of that training that was particularly, traumatic?
Yes, actually I do. One of the things, and this is again when I was younger, much younger, was going through, I guess you could call it sensory deprivation training, where I was put into a very small, it wasn't a box, but it was it was an enclosure. And it was at this house that I go to with this guy that I'll just call Mike, and I would be put into this box about the size of a very small closet, just enough to where you could kind of sit down and have your knees up to your chest, pitch black, and no sound, couldn't hear anything outside, and I would be in there for hours and hours on end. And I do remember being very frightened, and, you know, when you're in the pitch black and you're that young, a lot of, you know, a lot of things happen in the imagination. You start seeing things, and it can actually invoke hallucinations. You know, almost in the same, in a similar way as maybe, you know, getting injected with a psychotropic drug, but this was done naturally through your own psychosis.
All right. Now, whenever you joined the Coast Guard, by that time, had the people that were handling you, had they revealed to you any type of plan or purpose for what they had put you through and what you were about to do?
Not at that time, no. I was not aware. All I knew was that when I was 16, you know, I was given this package came into the mail for me from the United States Coast Guard. I was told to meet a person, I can't remember his name now, at a location up in Vancouver, Washington. I did so. And when I got there, there were three gentlemen in uniform. They took me into the back room. They sat me down, and they told me that I was to join the Coast Guard, that this had been planned for me. And I remember saying, well, I wanted to check out some of the other services, which I had been doing at that time, and they said that that was not an option for me. The itinerary was already, it was already set. And I did find this strange, but at the same time, I didn't put up any argument. I went into it full swing. And then, you know, it was another year and a half when I finally went to boot camp, and the training still continued after that. You know, it's not something where, you know, I'm doing this hard, rigorous training for 3 months where no one knows where I'm at. It happened in, segments. It was spanned out. I feel from my memories it always had been. But then once I did get into the Coast Guard, that's on the Coast Guard side, and then even on the other side, training became a lot more rigorous.
All right, we've heard on this show, we've heard quite a number of people talk about being in similar programs under MK Ultra, and of course MK Ultra had a bunch of different projects, a bunch of different programs that they were running. And we've heard people say right here on this show that as part of their participation with the MK Ultra training, that they actually did either teleportation or time travel or whatever you want to call it. Did you experience any of that?
I was told by someone whom I trust and that I worked with in the past that I did indeed do time travel. That one, I'm still... I have some more work that I need to do to really put that one together. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, then the follow-on question was, and this, I think I know the answer based on that one, were you ever sent to Mars?
Well, yeah, that's another thing that has been shared with me by two people that I worked with in the past, that I have memories of working in the past, and this would have had to have been in the later half of my career. But again, still got a lot of work to do before I will flat out say that, you know, I've been to Mars or I've done this. Because again, you know, without getting a little bit more confirmation, maybe a little bit of, you know, some more proof would be nice. You know, I don't want to say either or.
So you have no memory of that?
I have unusual flashbacks that would not be considered normal or even of this planet. But then I deal with the problem, too, with false implanted memories, which I do have and have been able to get a lot confirmed. the visions that I get, or even the flashbacks at times when I wake up in the middle of the night and in the cold sweats, I mean, they just seem very, very real, a little bit too real for them, for me not to look in that direction and try to find the truth with them.
All right.
And this was actually something that I just talked about on a show last week, actually, this last Saturday about.
Do you have any information, Aaron, about our alleged secret space fleet?
Just from some people that I've spoken with who were involved in other Mark Ultra projects, as far as the U.S. Navy space fleet. Also had a very in-depth discussion with Dr. Bill Deagle about the SS Luftwaffe fleet. That the Nazis are still very much running. I don't have any memories of being part of that, but I have two people that have memories who I've spoken to. But maybe that would be better for me to get you in contact with them, because they could give you better information than I can.
I'm interested in what you've experienced and what, the only way I can find out is to ask. So you haven't experienced it, that's fine.
No, I understand. And all I could, I could sit here and tell you what I've had my cold sweats and I've had flashbacks about, which have left me almost paralyzed. I could tell you that, but I would have to say first to your viewers and to you that these are just simply flashbacks I've had, and I haven't been able to get it confirmed, but, I have had flashbacks, very vivid ones, where I have been on craft that were definitely nothing that would be of the norm, and not just, high-altitude craft, but also submersible ones.
Have you considered, we talk a lot of times about that there has been this alien hybridization program going on now for decades. Have you considered that you may be partially alien, partially extraterrestrial?
At this point, Kevin, I have to really consider anything that's brought to the table with people that bring information to me. That doesn't mean that I sit there and I go, oh, yes, I believe that. I have an archive of thousands of transcripts and things that have been given to me, and I've only gone through maybe 5% of it. But that is something that has been not really, no one has absolutely come out. Well, there's been a few that actually said, oh, yeah, he's a hybrid, or he's been experimenting with alien DNA. But there are some strange anomalies about me that occur that lead me to question, how was I tampered with?
Give us an example of that.
Well, yeah, sure. The real obvious one that has been pretty much the hottest topic of discussion about me are my eyes. How quickly they move, literally will sometimes flicker, and not just to the left, but to the right, in a matter of what I've been told was nanoseconds by a person who observed my eyes. I have been told on four separate occasions where people actually witnessed my eyes change, not where actually my pupil changed shape, where the iris, the color, actually expanded out. Another time where I was talking to someone and one eye completely changed from the other. Just recently, I was in another state visiting a friend, and this friend actually said, and this woman, I absolutely believe, without a doubt, and she actually said that she physically watched me alter form a little bit. I haven't really spoken on what details she gave me because I've had a lot go on the past 2 weeks. But yeah, that's one of the things that people have observed is the really weird effect of my eyes. Now, those four other occasions I was talking about, something else happened during that time. And it frightened people. And the times that they said that my eyes changed and looked not human-like were four times when I was getting very, very angry. I don't remember what the subject matter, but I do remember I was getting very angry. I don't know if it was a topic or something going on with my life. And on one of the occasions, a TV was ripped off of the stand that was on, and the cable, the coax cable, got ripped out of the back of the TV, and a big chunk of the TV came off. Another time, all the cabinets in my kitchen opened up simultaneously and slammed shut.
And this is without...
Time, a door actually...
This is without you touching them with your hands, right?
No, I did not touch anything. In fact, no one was near any of this stuff when it happened. And it was so bad that the person I was living with who experienced it, you know, I had to move out because he was frightened, and I had to get away. And on another occasion, a big solid oak coffee table raised, all four legs raised off the ground about 3 inches and then slammed down really hard and actually cracked the paint on the balcony that I was standing out on.
So what do you think is doing that? What do you think is the power behind that?
Gosh, that's one of the many things that I'm trying to figure out. I really don't know. But what I do know is that it scared to death the people who witnessed it. I mean, they were frightened, and after that, no one really wanted to talk about it afterward.
Yeah, and it probably didn't want to talk to you either.
No, they didn't. In fact, there are a few of the people that witnessed on one occasion, they left.
All right, we have to step away for a break, and we will come back and continue our conversation with Aaron McCollum, and talking about what it's like to be a part of the MKUltra Black projects that we've all heard about. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening is Aaron McCollum. And Aaron, we've got a few minutes here before we go to our top of the hour break. So we haven't talked much about the undersea bases. We've talked in the previous show, we talked about the fact that you had been to one. Do you have any memory of, and look, we're not asking you to tell us anything that's classified, but do you have any memory of any extraterrestrials being in these undersea bases that you were in?
Yes. I don't know exactly who they were or where they were from, but, you know, it wasn't like, it wasn't anything that, They would always be very close to humans that worked there, and they actually had their own location that was classified, that was marked off, and my interaction was very little from what I remember. I was more on the more operational side. They were more on the what would seem to be, from everything I can remember, the research, technology sharing side of things and kind of overseeing how things were being run.
The premise behind the X-Files is that there is already on the planet an extraterrestrial race, and they sort of... I'm sure you've seen the X-Files and you know about the black oily looking liquid, and they take over somebody's body by this oil seeping into their skin and their eyes and their nose and all of that. And then, but they talk about it as being something like a virus. And, you got this group, this shadow government, that's working in cooperation with the extraterrestrials. They say to just buy enough time to find a way to destroy the extraterrestrials. And so the extraterrestrials were actually in control of the secrecy. Okay, now with some variation, let me ask you, are the extraterrestrials that are here in control of the secrecy?
A little bit of both. There's definitely a race that has taken vested interest in this planet that are working with the shadow government, you know, shadow governments all over the world that really all work together directly or indirectly, and their intentions are not good at all, and they are actually working. Here's the best way I can describe it. Basically, they have, and this happened a long time ago, they bestowed upon a responsibility and a power with, you know, what is people of the global elite, whoever they are, but with the, you know, with the, how am I trying to say this, with ground rules. And the ground rules are that, you know, they have to accomplish this or they have to do things this way. But what they have done is they have allowed this global elite, these people, to believe that they are actually in control. But the truth of the matter is that they really are, in a way, taking orders. But there's also other races that do interact that, and with this, not every alien abduction is bad. But I'm sure you probably have already guessed that I've talked about this. Because there are races out there who have taken another side of an interest in this planet to stop this because of humans. The whole human race are not supposed to be under this kind of control. That's never what we were meant to be. We were actually meant to be, you know, the keepers, the guardians, the true, you know, caretakers of this planet.
Right.
There's a little bit of a tug and war going on.
And do you think that the global elite, as you mentioned, took the bait because the extraterrestrials were dangling some bits of technology in front of their eyes?
Absolutely, yes. It was all part of a treaty that was made, and I could have the year wrong. It was somewhere around 1938, 1939, I believe, was like the first treaty that you could say that happened. I don't really call it treaty, but it was more of an agreement that occurred. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you do this for us and we will give you this bits and pieces. Now, there has been a lot of technology that was uncovered that, you know, through human scientists and researchers have been able to reverse engineer, but then, you know, they will get, if they're not able to complete something or get something completely working, then the race that's kind of watching over will say, okay, well, this is how you can do this and make it better. Everything from aircraft, you know, time travel, and more weaponry, you know. It's a huge, huge.
I'll tell you, we've got some weaponry that's absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you may or may not have heard about this. I have several news sources that I check every day, which of course I did not get to check today because some goofballs took down my site. But I get one source is it's called the Military Buzz, and it's an e-zine, but it's all military stuff. And in that, a couple of weeks ago, maybe I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe I saw an article that our next strategic bomber, while it will be able to carry a payload of bombs, its primary weapons will not be bombs, but pulsed energy.
Aha. Well, that goes along the lines with, you know, The original aircraft known as the Aurora, that one is actually, they're on the works of putting that one out of service and putting in the new Aurora. That's the only information I have on that so far, but one of my sources did reveal that to me. And this is someone that did work in with a program that was related to that one.
The SR-72, the Blackbird?
I believe, yes, 72, I believe.
Yeah.
If I remember right. Yeah.
I just always have called it the Blackbird. But, you know, that is one awesome aircraft, but obsolete.
Oh, yeah.
Obsolete.
Oh, that thing's been obsolete for a long time, Kevin.
Yeah. And, you know, they when they said they were going to brand it as obsolete and take it offline, that was back during the Carter administration, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, now, they took it offline. You don't do that unless you have something better to put online. Interesting thing, the Blackbird went online. You know, by the time the public found out about it, we were just awestruck. But that we found out about it, I mean, well, there were rumors and everything like there are about the Aurora. But they actually made it public in the 1980s.
Well, yeah,
see? And in the 1980s, we were awestruck, and we were getting to see it as they said it's obsolete. But it went online in 1965.
This is around the same time when, you know, the buzz was starting to come out about the Star Wars program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. But the thing is what they do, see, they're very clever about this, and they've been doing this for decades. You know that they can release that information finally when it has already really been obsolete for maybe 20 years, because what they were already developing at the same time, you know, then it'll be another maybe 20 to 30 years when they will say, okay, well, we've had this, but, you know, we're decommissioning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as, you know, you see on commercials and stuff, you see that they'll have, you know, this new technology, or they have it in the science magazines or on the Discovery Channel. They talk about this new weaponry or...
Aaron, we have to step away for a break. We'll pick up there when we come back, and we'll open the telephone lines in just a moment for you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. Delighted you are here. Believe me, I am, because I know, you know, the bulk of our audience does not listen to this show at my site. The bulk of my audience are listening on affiliate sites, and that's a good thing. And especially on a night like tonight when we have had some difficulty with our website. But we have thousands of people that listen on our site. And those who are subscribers to the K-Files e-zine got the message. And I'm glad you're here. But as we open up the phone lines... Even if you've never called before, this would be a good night to do that. Okay, Aaron McCollum and is my guest. And Aaron, let's go to the telephone line and allow our audience to join us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Some people in the audience might be angry with me about this, and it's no offense to you or anybody in the audience, but I find that your guest tonight he seems to be kind of making things up as he goes along.
How can you tell?
Well, every time you ask him a tough question and get him to his response, he comes back with the answer that he can't remember, or there's always some excuse for why he can't come up with a good answer. And I would like to see some bona fides, some proof, some DD-14 of your Marine service, or something to back up your story, because it seems to me that tonight you're having sort of a meltdown. Am I correct with that?
No, actually, that's not correct. But let me just say, you know, I do appreciate everyone's observation. And, you know, my mind just works pretty scattered at times. And, yes, sometimes it is hard to try to put the words of, you know, the memories that I have. But I do indeed have a DD-214, and, in fact, through a friend of mine, I was able to acquire at least some of my military record and my really fragmented medical record, where it has actual sections missing, which I find very odd. But I do have that information. I've just never posted that because that is something I've never really thought about. But I do understand. I do get a lot of people who are quite skeptic, and that is understandable. That's completely understandable because, you know, this is something that's hard for a lot of people to wrap their mind around. If I had, you know, proof of, you know, if I had the proof that I was at these bases or that I'd done this or that, believe me, I would, you know, do what I could to get that information out. And even since I've been talking, you know, I've had quite a few people who are close to me who've known me for a long time, who have had, you know, certain visitors or, you know, even indirect or direct threats because I'm talking about this information that's very sensitive.
Yes.
So, you know,
and,
you're not the first one to do that.
Can I respond? I'll just ask Kevin. Kevin, why don't you use your skills as a cop and try to figure out if this guy is being truthful or not. The question I have is if you really are a super soldier, then let's go out and see how fast, you know, see what your swimming times are. And I would assume that you would know some Navy SEALs or some Army Rangers, because I think they would take offense to some of the claims that you're making.
Well, okay. Why don't I use my skills as a cop? I have. Okay, bye, Ryan. He hung up on us. So let me answer the question. I have. And to the extent that I can afford to do so, it's easy to say to me, why don't I vet something for you? And my question to you is, why? Are you incapable of thinking yourself? We ask the questions on the show. And if you have questions, you certainly should ask those questions. And I think Ryan brought up some valid observations. I think Ryan brought up some valid questions. But if what you want me to do, Ryan, is to do an investigation, if that's what you want, I'll be glad to send you the estimated cost. And if you'll pay for it, I'll do it. But no possible way am I taking another cracker off my son's table. Not on your life. But if you want to pay for the investigation, I certainly will do it. They're not cheap, but I'll do it. And it will be a good one. I have talked with people that have a background in naval intelligence. I've talked with two. And both of them tell me that Mr. McCollum is the real deal. And, you know, he is what he says. Now, I don't know, you know, if that's not good enough for you, then I will be glad to do a thorough, professional background investigation, and that will cost you in the neighborhood, I can tell you, that will be in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $6,000. Not coming out of my pocket. But if you want to pay for it, you got it. I'll do it. All right. 623-444-5889 is our main telephone number. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. 623-444-5889 or toll-free, 888-223-4599. One of the things I noticed in what Ryan said is a total misunderstanding, though, Aaron, of what is a super soldier. The idea that people have in their heads about what is a super soldier, they got from the movies.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because there are actually... super soldiers come in all different shapes and sizes, and you don't necessarily... super soldier is the word that's used, but there are many different types of super soldiers. You even have a whole spectrum that are really more labeled as the psychic super soldiers, and these are people that, you know, do black ops, that do things like remote viewing, bi-location remote viewing, even... psychic attacks, and more so. You also have, see, and with super soldiers, not every single super soldier has enhanced strength or can do this or that. Again, it depends on what they want them to be used for. And also, not every super soldier is in the military. You know, they have the civilian side of it that will go in and be given a uniform or and an ID and all the proper paperwork, and they're placed into a unit to do a certain mission, and then they're gone. And the people at that unit may go, you know, what happened to this guy? Well, don't ask about that. And then next thing you know, he lands in another part of the world on a different military base of a different branch, and he's doing something else.
So he can be Army today, Navy tomorrow, Air Force next week.
He could be ATF. He could be CIA. He could be even, you know, maybe they decide that they want to do some kind of cooperation with one of these privatized mercenary organizations.
He might even be international police.
Exactly. Yes, Kevin. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, The concept of a super soldier is sort of this robo G.I. Joe. Kind of a Rambo on steroids.
Yeah.
But I've talked with people that here on the show. One of them, Walter Bosley, who is former U.S. Air Force OSI special agent. Jeff Harvey, former Naval Intelligence. And both of them tell me and have said it on the show that it would surprise you if you just got all these super soldiers in a group in a room and just looked at them, walked into the room and just looked at them, it would surprise you to find out that they're super soldiers because they number one, they don't look like the stereotype. Number two, it's not all males. And number three, they're not all young.
That's right. And there's a reason why they do that. I mean, let's just think about this. You're a guy that's maybe an Army Ranger. And you're with an outfit, and then suddenly here comes this group, and you're told that you're going to be doing a reconnaissance mission or something with this group. Now, if these guys were all 6'6" and weighed 280 pounds, were solid muscle, and were very robotic, you know, questions would stir. It doesn't necessarily mean the information get out, but questions would stir. But if you have same scenario, but a team comes, and this is some team, and you're told not to question, they're going to work with you, and they look like, you know, a unit that you would work with at any other time, you have no idea. You're not going to know because you're not going to think of it. It may consist of tall men, short men, skinny men, black men, whatever race, and even maybe some women. You know, I worked with 3 women that were in the Project Talent Super Soldier program. But they weren't, one of the women that I remember, she didn't have super strength. She was obviously trained far beyond what the normal training is. And yes, she had her alters, which is, that's another thing. When you're switched into an alter, either through a word, a frequency, whatever it is, that's usually when the abilities that you are trained under that, in that different personality, that's when they kick in.
You know, I just thought of another thing based on Ryan's call, and I certainly hope there are a few other folks out there who know how to use a telephone, because it's going to be an awfully long show if you sit around and wait for other people to call. But, you know, the this other thing I thought of, you know, asking me to prove that I was international police, on the one hand, I can. I have the documentation. Asking me to prove that I ran a unit called Information Collection and Analysis in Kosovo, I can't, because that was not even on the organizational chart. So, I mean,
exactly, like,
you know, and we don't get any DD-214s, okay? So, but then there is yet one other step, and that is, I have no inclination. If somebody doesn't believe me, I don't care.
And that's, you know, I don't go on these shows to try to, you know, say, well, you have to believe what I say. I'm simply giving the information out, and I leave it up to the listeners to dissect that information and let them go with it on there. You know, the unit that I was with back in 2008, the Civilian Intel Force Recon team for the United States Marine Corps, the only proof I have is the first 21 pages of a document that was given to me by a general, and then some correspondence letters between me and 2 other generals, specifically stating what my job was going to be and certain other things that I was able to get out of the computer before my computer mysteriously fried.
Mm.
Now I have those.
All right,
but, you know.
Well, and you've sent me some of it. I've seen some of it.
Did.
Yeah. All right. We have a telephone call, so let's go to the phone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Hi, Aaron. This is Tracy from Canada.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay.
It's going to be impossible to prove what you've done, where you've been. You know, Aaron and I have talked about this kind of thing. I think the fact that you're getting it out there, you're going to remember more every day. And I was wondering how you're feeling about that. Is it good? Is it scary? Is it shocking?
It's a little bit of everything, Tracy. Yeah, you and I, Tracy just happens to be a friend of mine. And we've talked a lot about this, but, and I'll just say that I was going to wait till later, but I have to say this now. Things are getting dangerous. In fact, I had a talk with a couple friends of mine earlier, and, you know, I have to do a lot of thinking. I have one more show that I have obligated to do, and I will go through with it, but after that, I'm going to take a long break from doing these shows, and the only reason is, and this is fact, a lot of people that are close to me have been threatened directly or indirectly, and it's causing a danger. So after the next show that I do, I'm going to step back for a while. It doesn't mean I've got a few projects I'll be working on, which I will relay at the end of the show. But, you know, things have, this last 2 weeks, things got really, really hairy, not just for me, but for some other people that are close to me, directly and indirectly because of what I'm doing now. In fact, I am working with Jeff Harvey, and I've already taken the steps. I'm starting this kind of metaphysical psychic detox program. And he told me, he said, you know, it's going to be rough because when the memories start coming out, they're going to come out and the floodgates are going to open. And, you know, I'm going to have to deal with that. But I'm going to deal with that because the more information I get out, then the more that I can be helpful to others out there that may be sitting in dark corners and not understanding who they are.
Are you still glad you did it, Aaron?
Am I glad I did what?
Are you glad that you're out talking about it?
Yeah, yes, I am, because people need to know this, and my ultimate goal is to... Well, I'll just say it now. I'm actually going to be working on creating a website, and it's going to be kind of like a support network website. And the subject matter is going to be everything I talk about, but I'm also going to be inviting anyone who anonymously want to, you know, send letters, post letters of experiences or whatnot. So even though I'm going to, you know, stay quiet for a while with the interviews, I'm still going to be working very hard on this because this is a matter that is very serious and that needs to be exposed, and I will do what I can to try to get it fully exposed and stop this program. So I don't regret coming out in public. I only wish that those dearest to me weren't suffering some of the consequences if they happen.
Tracy, I want to thank you for the call. Are you a first-time caller?
No.
You've called before, okay.
Play that little balloon jingle if you want.
Did we play some applause for you the first time you called?
Oh, probably.
Okay.
I always like applause.
Okay, well, I'll give you some applause anyway here. And I thank you for your call. All right, 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
James from Texas.
Hello, James.
I would like to give Mr. McCullough some support on something that he said.
Okay.
He was talking about military intelligence spooks that had extra high security clearance and could behave in rather abnormal ways.
Mm-hmm.
I know of one in particular. This gentleman could wear the uniform of any service, any rank, get access to any resource at any base, military or otherwise. And also, when he went to get any care in a VA hospital long after he had retired, no one was allowed to touch him unless there was a military intelligence liaison present. I have a number of this gentleman's materials, and I can even give you his name since he's dead. He was the liaison, military intelligence liaison, for the group that developed the hydrogen bomb, Teller's group.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Billy Dixon.
Well, there you go. I mean, you knew this guy personally?
Makes Mr. McCullough feel a little more supported.
All right. You knew this guy personally? James, did you know this guy personally?
I knew his nephew, and I have a number of materials of his
uh-huh.
that are highly interesting.
Outstanding. All right. Man, thanks for the call.
He was at the
thank you, James.
U.S. Embassy in Moscow in the 50s. And took a number of interesting pictures.
And I suppose you have those pictures?
Yes.
I hope to get to see those someday.
Antenna array and of the NSA in Pine Bluff, or Pine Gap, their installation there. These antenna array weren't built until after the man was dead.
That's kind of curious, isn't it?
It's very curious, but I have them curious. You can see them for yourself. Big, glossy photos.
Okay.
He was extremely interested in ley lines and in what happened to be at certain situations of those ley lines.
All right, James, I want to thank you for the call. We're 30 seconds, but, well, no, we're not. We're a minute and 30 seconds away from the break. I looked at it wrong. Sorry about that, James. But thanks for the call. Well, there you go. I mean, you know, somebody who knew somebody. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Aaron, I heard you say that you was going to do one more interview, so I take it you haven't done your second on Camelot yet?
No, I have not done the follow-up interview with them. There was, like I said, I've had a lot of complications come up and had to relocate a few times. But maybe later down the road I'll be able to do that. But like I said, right now I have one more that I've obligated to do, and then after that I'm not going to stop. I have these things in the work with this commute, this support website, and some other things. But for the sake of those close to me, I'm going to need to step back for a little bit. And, you know, I hope people can understand that.
Yeah. I thought...
Terry, you'll have to hang on through the break. And Aaron, you hang on too. And we'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back, and Terry, you still online with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I had to cut you off, and you were in mid-sentence, Terry, so the yeah, floor is yours.
Could Aaron, if there was a group, a group, that wanted to, investigate these sites, and expose them, could you take them to these underground bases or where these aliens and stuff are at?
Well, I could. One of the places I could take them to the geographical location, getting in would be another matter. You know, I don't have I don't have the clearance or the abilities to do that anymore because of being put in the status that I'm in now, but that's not to say that I wouldn't be more than happy to point people in the right direction and give them the information that I have to allow them to do these investigations.
Yeah, because I just wondered if, you know, if we need to hit them where they live, you know, it'd be nice to know where it's at if it came down to that. You talked about the bad aliens that, you know, are doing things to us. Can you describe what they are, what they look like, and where they're from?
Where they're from, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I really don't know. But it is a variety as far as what they look like. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the grays being one, but the grays are kind of the worker bees, more or less, for the race that's really handing down the orders. The grays are the ones that do a lot of the alien abductions and even work with the military and doing my lab's military abductions. And of course, if anyone hasn't seen the grays come in various different sizes and a little bit different looks, because there are actually different species of the grays. And then, you know, the other one are better known as the reptilians, or, you know, the draconians.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we're still
ones,
back to the...
Go ahead, Terry.
Still back to the reptilians, or the bad ones, huh? They think they own the earth and us?
Pretty much, but again, from what I've been told by a couple of people, that not all of them are necessarily bad, but, you know, the group that are the ones who are think that they own us. But, you know, that is one of the reasons why I do speak, is to, you know, let people know that, you know, the more we share information, the more people become awake of what's going on, then, you know, the bigger the outcry is and the demand for information. Because really, the truth of the matter is that the global elite does fear us. That's why they have all these mind control methods and all these dumbing down methods such as GMO food and these poisonous vaccinations and everything to keep us at bay.
All right, Terry, I want to thank you for the call. We have to move along. We've got another call on hold. And let me, before we take that call, let me give you the telephone numbers, folks. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Obviously, the flash message option doesn't work tonight because it's keyed to kevinsmithshow.com, which is down, okay? But 623-444-5889 will work from anywhere in the world. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay, bye. I guess I got tired of holding. 623-444-5889. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Mike from Kentucky. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, what I'm wondering about is if we've seen some of these conspiracy shows like Jesse Ventura's and some of those are talking about super soldiers and how they were made. What's the chance that one of the callers who calls in here, that you may even be a regular, but wouldn't give some kind of a trigger word that would turn Aaron on or off?
Well, I guess it could happen. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, that's a risk that I do take, but I have something that I don't share is I have come up with a kind of a protocol when I do these shows, and I won't give their names, but there are several people who are actually listening to the show now who have listened to every show I've done, and if a situation like that arises, then I will notify the radio show host of the situation that's going on, and then I immediately call one of those individuals because that individual actually worked with me and was specifically, this person's job was, I don't know how to describe it, but basically this person's job was to know certain key words that would bring me back out of whatever state I'm put in. And this has been done, actually, had to happen on two occasions this past 2 weeks. You know, I've always make sure that I have, you know, a protocol with this. And this was actually this person's idea about a month ago. But, you know, that doesn't mean to say that there aren't other things that could happen. You know, it's just going on a radio show, period, is a risk for me.
Well, we know that things like this can happen, and it doesn't have to be somebody that would be hostile. It could be somebody that came across as a friend, and they could still have, through some type of leak or something, maybe stumbled upon a word, and that's the reason I ask this.
And, you know, that's a very good question. Again, that is why I have this protocol. It's the same reason why I don't watch much TV. It's the same reason why I keep myself out of certain kinds of situations. I have to be very careful. I don't even drive because, you know, that could pose a risk to other people if I even passed out or, you know, whatever could happen. I have to be very, very careful with everything I do.
I understand that. Okay, thanks, Aaron, and thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? That's twice that same person has done that. Okay. I looked at the caller ID. Mr. Gray, I would prefer you not do that again. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. Hello to Mr. McCollum.
Hi.
Hi, I'm just going to get into a little better reception area here. I'm on the... a couple of things I want to acknowledge. Oh, I'm going to turn my radio down. For Aaron, like, he's coming out, which has got to be really stressful. And as he's coming out, it's going to trigger a bunch of stuff in his own mind. And while he's doing those two things, it sounds like he's also getting hassled from the powers that be. So that's three really big things that he has to deal with. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, that is something that I do deal with.
Was there anything else, John?
When you first came out, Aaron, that was on Project Camelot.
Yes.
Yeah, and what you talked about then were the number of ships, like 300 ships going to the Gulf of Aden. And I did a bunch of searches, and then I was looking for news. But I haven't seen anything to support that story, so I'm just wondering... what you might say about that.
Well, a lot of the information I got was actually from insiders, people that have either come to me anonymously, and then some of it was also, there was actually some articles on the news, well, on the web about that, but recently I've gone back to do some more searching, and a lot of them have actually been wiped off. Unfortunately, you know, what I tell people, and this is again what I say, I do have a lot of sources that I have to protect, and even of late, which I found interesting, now I'm not saying that this is because of me, it could be coincidental, but ever since my interview came out in Camelot, all of a sudden all news on the web, there has been really nothing lately posted about it. All I simply say is for you and for others to ask yourself, why is that? Why has all of a sudden all the news about the Gulf of Aden stopped, except for maybe once in a while where there have been some news about quote-unquote Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and other terrorist groups moving in on Yemen to kind of make it their new training facility, and now the United States is really looking at to target that. These are things that people need to really question. Why? Why would that happen? Why would all of a sudden things clam up about that? It's awful suspicious. If I could give names of the people who have come to me and have given me information, I probably wouldn't anyways, because these people have family and I would not jeopardize their safety. But, you know, you're not the first person who's asked me that, and I completely understand that. That's a very legitimate question. It's a legitimate thing to question about me. I understand that.
Okay, John, thank you very much for the call. Interesting questions. You know, one of the questions that I have about the Gulf of Aden, and it's one that I posed to you when you were on talking about that, is, you know, we look at the photographs. And of course, it's a satellite photograph. It's you know, it's Google Earth, and we don't see any ships. But the problem that we have with that, and we know, is that there's no way to know when that photograph was taken. So,
well, that's true.
You know, we don't know.
Plus, it was already in the news. I mean, this was national news about Google's relationship with the NSA.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think just recently the CEO of Google just made a formal apology about, you know, basically saying, hey, sorry, we messed up. We shared your information with everybody.
Yep.
I don't think that they're entirely, that was really a genuine apology, but two people that I was stationed with in the Coast Guard had sent me Google images of these unusual airfields, these landing strips in northern Korea, and since that time, you go back on Google Earth, I look up the same latitude and longitude.
Hate to do it, we have to step away for break, but we'll pick up with that thought when we come back. Don't go away, folks. More after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Aaron McCollum. And we're talking about some pretty strange stuff. And, you know, one of the things, Aaron, that I have said and that people sometimes haven't thought about, we all want official disclosure of the UFO reality and as many of the things that are secret about UFOs as can safely be disclosed. We all want that. At the same time, we talk about the powers that be, and we talk about them, people talk about the PTBs, the powers that be, in terms of great distrust and sometimes disgust. And yet, if there is official disclosure, that's exactly who it's going to come from.
That's right.
Now, when they start telling you things, how, and this is for the audience now, for all of us, let's say disclosure happens in the morning. Special news conference, the president comes out, he brings a general from the Army and one from the Air Force, an admiral, and maybe somebody from the Marines, and they stand up in front of the cameras. The question is, whatever they tell you, how are you going to know they're telling you the truth? You won't know. You just have to take the overall tone of what they're telling you, and you know, is it true? Is it not true? Or is this disinformation they're giving us? It's going to be the very people who have been severely keeping the secrets. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin and Aaron. It's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just wondering, there was obviously a very lot of time and energy put into training you, you know, from a very young child to adulthood. And if you look at it from a return on investment point of view, the missions that you did, do you figure that all that time and energy that was spent training you, as opposed to, let's say, if they had just taken you in and made you an ordinary soldier at age 18, do you think the government got a payback from that over all the missions that you did?
That's a good question. I've never really thought about that. Well, I mean, obviously they got a lot of use out of me. I'm guessing that, you know, they were satisfied, but I can tell you that obviously they were dissatisfied with something, because otherwise I wouldn't have been put into the status that I was put in, but I must have done something right for them to call me back in plain sight, really, to go back and do an operation and help develop a team back starting in June of 2008 all the way up until the beginning of March of 2009. And I do have full memory of that. That wasn't something, at least as far as I know. I mean, I remember every step of the way with that. And even the general that sat me down, who started really going over this record that he had of me, and he was telling me missions I was a part of, and saying that, you know, I had, his exact words were that I had come highly recommended. So, obviously, they were happy with their investment, but at the same time, I obviously did something wrong, because it's not normal for anybody to just show up somewhere randomly halfway back around the world and not remembering where the heck they were at or what they did, and then having to really start. I really consider that I've started my second life starting back in December of 2005.
Yes, thanks for that information. I was just wondering, if I rephrase this, if they just took a kid and, let's say, put him in the Boy Scouts and had him go up into the mountains and do a little camping and a little self-defense courses and things like that, and then just drafted someone as a regular soldier at age 18, do you think they'd be able to do the same sorts of things that you were able to do?
That I really don't know, because, you know, I was definitely part of training that was a lot more in-depth, a lot more intense, and was subjected to things that a normal child should never be subjected to. I can't answer that because, you know, I've never had that normal kind of life. But that's not to say that I have worked with, you know, people that had, you know, lived a normal life, joined the military, became Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force Recon, who are very capable of doing very amazing things, and I have much respect for all of them. But it would be unfair for me to compare myself to others when I didn't walk in their shoes. So that's the best way I could really, that's the best answer I can really give you. I wish I could tell you more, but I'm still picking up the pieces and trying to really figure out the entirety of everything that happened to me.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. Interesting questions. We have time perhaps for just one more call, but it'll have to be quick. 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. I can vouch for the fact, folks, when Aaron says he's had to relocate a couple of times here in the last week. That's true. And I have to find out on the day of the show what telephone number to use to call him. And and he's not where he was when we did the first his first show with us, and I know that much of it is absolutely a fact. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, from where you're calling, and you'll have to hurry because we're almost out of time.
Hey Kevin, this is Ryan. Aaron, I'm starting to believe you more now. I want to apologize for asking too many questions, so I just want to let you know that I take James Horrocks' word on this. I'm starting to believe your case more now. You understand people like me have a million questions, and there's no way for us to find out the truth either. So, I just appreciate you coming on.
Well, I understand that, Ryan. And let me just say, you know, you don't have to apologize for asking what you truly feel. I respect every question, and thank you for calling back. But like I tell people, you know, I leave it up to them to decide what's true and what's not true. So, you know, thank you for calling and asking me that question, because that allows people to, you know, think more about what they should really look into, or what's fact or what's, you know, what's not fact.
That's true. And look, I say it all the time. You don't have to agree or if you want to disagree with what somebody's saying or question what somebody's saying, that's what this show is for. And so there's no apologies needed for questioning something or saying, I don't buy it. That's okay, too, because that's what this show is about. It's not an agenda-driven show. It's information-driven. And that's why we have phone numbers so you can call in, ask your questions, make your comments. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. This is called freedom of speech. All right, Aaron, if you will, just stay on the phone with me for a moment. I want to thank you for being back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we will have our regular website back up tomorrow. It was supposed to have been done by Showtime tonight. As you see, they didn't get it. They were instantaneous in getting that $160. But we'll see what happens. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.